Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Nehemiah. We've been going through the book of Nehemiah Sunday morning, Sunday night, tonight, and then Sunday morning and Sunday night again. Nehemiah is a wonderful book. Teaches us how to build a Christian life, build a marriage, build a family, build a ministry, build a business. And I want you to look at Nehemiah chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 to 4. Nehemiah 1, 1 to 4, then we'll pray and be seated. Nehemiah 1, verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hechaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chisleah, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. So Nehemiah, this is just a review. It was one of his brothers and some other brethren, if you would. They came and gave him a report what was going on in Jerusalem. In verse number 3, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction. Wow. And reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept, broke Nehemiah's heart to hear about the condition of Jerusalem. By the way, it all would break our heart to hear about the condition of America. You say, what's wrong? By the way, America is the greatest country on the face of the earth, but America is in trouble. You say, what do we need? We need revival. We need God. It's exactly what we need. Our hearts ought to break when we watch the news, if you watch the news, hear what's going on in our country. Just an amazing thing. He wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Father, help us as we have a brief Bible study. We have the graduation and just teach us and encourage us and challenge us from your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to briefly review a little bit in your outline there. If you have your handout, number one, we said number one is Nehemiah's providential passion. Can everybody say passion? Passion. Nehemiah's providential passion helped him and God's people to finish the wall for the Lord in 52 days. The Lord made us to have passion. Okay? Passion is okay as long as you have it for that which is godly and holy. Okay? Some of our people went to the Dodger game Monday night. Dodgers and Angels, okay? No doubt, I didn't go, but no doubt there were some passionate Dodger fans, okay? Passionate Angel fans. Sometimes when you get, you know, two different fans, you sort of get conflict. But it'd be good to be as passionate about Jesus as we are about the Dodgers, huh? And so passion, Nehemiah had passion. Then we see number two, this is a review, Nehemiah's intentional passion. Okay, helped him and God's people to finish the wall for the Lord in 52 days. And when we say intentional passion, at first he heard what the condition of Jerusalem, and so that was sort of providential passion. And then he got on his horse, and he rode down, and he looked at himself and just stirred up that passion that God put in his heart. I mentioned on Sunday, if God's put something in your heart, don't think that he's going to be the one that's always stirring the coals. You got to stir your own coals. But number three, we preached a whole sermon on this on Sunday night, God's people's work ethic. Can everybody say work? That's not a four-letter word, even though it is a four-letter word. Work. Work ethic helped Nehemiah and God's people to finish the wall for the Lord in 52 days. Okay? Now, number four, this is new. Number four, prayer. Put it in that little blank there. Prayer helped Nehemiah and God's people finish the wall in 52 days for the Lord. Look at verse chapter 1. We just read this. We're going to look at a couple of verses here. Prayer. Prayer. Do you believe God answers prayer? Look at verse 4. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. His passion motivated him to pray. Look at chapter 2, verse number 4. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven. Look here just a moment. You know, sometimes you say, what is prayer? Well, prayer is asking. But sometimes we think praying is just, well, get in the morning and I read my Bible and I pray. Or at night, I pray with my children. I have a family altar and pray. Really, prayer is what we're supposed to be doing all the time. All of a sudden, something happens. Maybe we have a little turmoil or something. And that's what happened with Nehemiah. Nehemiah was actually talking to the king. And while he was listening to the king, he started praying. Look, if you would, to chapter 4 and verse number 4. Hear our Lord, or hear our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their head, their own head. Of course, they were having trouble, and there were enemies that were trying to hinder them from building the wall. And so this was a prayer. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Look down to chapter 4, verse 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Look at chapter 5 and verse 19, if you would, please. Again, they were having a lot of different troubles and different people trying to hinder them. But then verse 19, think upon me, my God, for good, according to all that I have done for this people. Then look at chapter 6 and verse 9. For they all made us afraid, saying their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hand. Where's John? Ushers, you might be able to help us. Maybe you can do something, okay? John Castle, I always walk to church. I live right down the street. If you want to egg my house, if you want to toilet paper my house, I'm right over here. Only two floors, two-story house right over here. And I was walking here tonight, and I saw John Castle. He had this big, where are you, John? Where are you? What kind of car did he have? What kind of car? Excursion. He said, Pastor, I said, man, nice car. It's a huge Excursion. What year is it, John? 03. Real nice. And he said, Pastor, I've been praying for a bigger car. He said, he's a singles teacher. He said, we take our single people, different places, conferences. We take them on activities and so forth. I've been praying for a bigger car. And he got that car for like, how much, John, pay for that car? Huh? $1,450. Did someone say it's a Ford? Found on road dead. Okay, don't mess up my sermon illustrations. Heard this week there was a preacher. Actually, I read a little article deal. This the preacher they're having a big evangelistic crusade, I guess, years ago at Soldier Field. Soldier Field is in Chicago. That's where the Chicago Bears play. And a big rain was coming, and it started raining, and the place was packed, and people started getting up and leaving. And he said, stop! He said, let's pray first. And the guy got up and prayed, said, oh, Lord, you know, people are here to hear the gospel, and we, you know, I don't know what his prayer was. And he prayed, and the rain stopped, and he preached, and people got saved. Amen? So pray. Pray about everything. John Rice said, all of our problems are prayer problems. Look at number 5. So Nehemiah prayed. Well, how'd they get the wall up? Well, about 90 years, that wall was sitting there broken down, and it was sort of a shame to God's people. And this one man that God providentially put passion in his heart to rebuild this wall, and he had passion, he had intentional passion, they had a work ethic, and they prayed. Then number five, real quickly, Nehemiah's recognition and proclamation of God's hand on the project helped Nehemiah and God's people finish the wall in 52 days. His recognition and proclamation of God's hand. Look at chapter 2, if you would. Go back over to Nehemiah chapter 2. He proclaimed that God's hand was on this project. Look at verse 7. He said, chapter 2, verse 7, he says, "Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given." Of course, he's getting permission to go to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. "Be given to the governors beyond the river." He's thinking ahead of time. He knows he's going to have to get some written permission, "that they may convey me over till I come unto Judah." Verse 8, "And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me," now look at this, "according to the good hand of my God upon me." Look up here just a moment. How many here want God's hand upon them? I don't know about you, but I want God's hand upon me. Look at verse 18. Nehemiah recognized, he recognized that God's hand was on him. Verse number 18. Look at verse 17. "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was upon me." He let these people know. He said, "Listen, guys, I'm a big nothing, but God's hand's upon me." And look, and he said, "as also the king's words that had spoken unto me." And they said, "Let us rise up and build." And so when Nehemiah recognized, and he also proclaimed, he said, "Listen, man, God is in this. God's hand is on this. God spoke to the king, given us permission to do this." And so in order to see the wall built in 52 days, he had to have God's hand. Let me say this. You know the worst as a Christian, the worst place to be is when you know God's hand's not on you. I made a mistake, and every once in a while I'll refer to this. I went to Florida to help someone start a church, and I wasn't supposed to. And for about a year, it was like, God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. Okay? But God's hand was not on what we were doing. Make sure, as you're serving the Lord, you're obeying his word, and you're in his will, so you can have God's hand on your life. Amen? Number six. I'm going through this quickly. Number six. Family teamwork helped Nehemiah and God's people finish the wall in 52 days. Look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, what we see here is they literally begin to build the wall, okay? And there's a lot that can be said, why they started, where they started at first. But in this chapter, we see the different families that just started building the wall. But I want you to notice look at verse number 12. Okay, well, look at verse number 1. "Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and they builded the sheep gate." So that was a part of the wall they built. "They sanctified and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Haniel. And next unto him builded the men of Jericho." Verse 3, "But the fish gate did the sons of Hasaniah build." Verse 4, "And next unto them repaired Miramoth, the son of Urijah." Verse 5, "And next unto them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work." I'll talk about that in a minute. Look at verse 6. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah. Verse 7. And next unto them repaired this group. Verse number 8. Next unto them repaired this group. Verse number 9. Next unto them repaired Rephaiah, this group. Next unto them repaired Jediah. And then number verse 11, a group. Now look at verse 12. I like this. Actually, my daughter and my wife were reading through the book of Nehemiah about a week or two ago as a family, and they both pointed this out to me. Look at verse 12. And next unto him repaired Shalem, the son of Halohish, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. Now look at this. He and his daughters. That's a guy that didn't have any sons right there. I mean, Robert. He and his daughters basically had over here all these men and their sons, and 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 then Robert and all his daughters. By the way, we believe in teaching our daughters to be feminine and our boys not to be effeminate. Right? Okay, we don't really want our daughters walking around in steel-toe boots, you know, combat boots. Okay, but it's okay for our daughters to help. Okay? Think about the construction site. You know, there's not. We don't have the girls on the second floor with ropes or the, what do you call it, harnesses tied to them doing the real dangerous work. But the girls are wonderful sweepers. Amen? They help. Thank you, girls. But there was teamwork there. Family teamwork. By the way, moms and dads, and I got like 1 minute to do this. Work at keeping your children on your team. You say, what do you mean on your team? Going the same direction, number one, for God. And preventing them and do everything you can to keep them from going the wrong direction. It's a wonderful thing when you can have a family, a mom and a dad and little sissy and little junior. And if you're like me, you got a bunch of sissies and a bunch of juniors all going the same direction. Work at it. Family teamwork. All these families got together. Said, how did they build a wall? A bunch of families. They had Nehemiah. He had passion. And they had a work ethic. And they prayed. And they said, let's go at it. And they had teamwork. By the way, I encourage, we passed a little paper out. We're not going to talk about it tonight. But I encourage our church family, let's get that building done. We're going to build a building, but let's get it done in God's timing. I want to challenge everybody, take that little piece of paper, and that's 52 days. We're going to take 52 days to do all we can to help finish that building. Okay, look at number 7. We're about done here. God's people did not allow a lack of involvement to discourage them from finishing in 52 days. Look at chapter 3, and we'll read we just read here, but look at verse 5. This is all the different, just, there's a uniqueness in each one of these verses, these different families. There's different things you can pull out of it. I just showed you one. The girls there, daughters were helping. But look at verse 5. And next unto them, the Tekoites repaired. But look at this. But their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. Now look up here just a moment. You say, well, what's the point there, Pastor? Here it is. The old-timers that have been around for a while, they're like, you guys do the work. We're not going to do anything. We've already done our work. We've already earned. Listen, we're retired from the work of the Lord. Nobody retires from the work of the Lord. And these folks, this group, they didn't work. But here, you know, I like what God did in the scriptures. He showed us that verse. You know what he's saying? Hey, nobles, I could act like a noble if I want. Okay? Hey, nobles, do your work. Everybody needs to work for the Lord. But then you know what God did? He didn't make a big deal. He just went on to the next verse. It's an amazing thing. It's easy for all of us. But my children will do this. Right, Nathaniel? Well, you'll do this, what I'm about to say, right? You don't know what I'm going to say. All of a sudden, we'll be doing some little job or something at the house. And if Ben's there, how old is Ben, 11? He's 11? 12? How old is he? How old is Ben? 12. I don't know how old my children are. I don't even know their names half the time. So if Ben's working, you know what he'll do? Where's Nathaniel? Right? If Nathaniel's working and Ben's not there, he's like, where's Ben? You know what I say? Don't worry about Ben. Okay? Don't worry about Ben. If we'll all just take care of ourselves and let's rejoice, sometimes we'll be on the job site. And guys, our staff sometimes, even our staff, believe it or not, they're not perfect. And so we'll be out there working sometimes. And one of the staff guys will say, where's Brother So-and-so? Yeah. Then the staff start to get into some gossiping. He's never out here. By the way, maybe Brother So-and-so is doing something else for the Lord, like watching television. Listen, and by the way, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Let me say this too. This is not a scripture, but it's something we've learned. It is scripture, but I mean, it doesn't say this, but there's what they call it, the Pareto principle. 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. So you get 100 people, let me just say this, 80% of the work is going to be done by 20 people. Now, what I try to do as a pastor, and let's rally everybody together, let's all go soul winning. We got 100 people in the church, 20 people go. We got 1,000 in the church, 200 people go. Now, I don't just say, oh, well. But don't get discouraged if everybody doesn't get involved. The folks that are involved, let's say amen and go forward. Amen? All right, lastly, and we're done. Some people did more than others to get the wall built. I want to show you something. And look at chapter 3, verse number 4. Nehemiah has so many great principles. Chapter 3, verse number 4. I have a hard time pronouncing these names. I bet the K5... do a lot better than me. They're phonics. They know what they're doing. But look at verse 4 of chapter 3. And next unto them repaired Miramoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz. Look over to verse 21. And after him repaired Miramoth, the son of Urijah, the son of Koz. Look up here just a moment. You say, well, what's going on? This family had two places on the wall. By the way, there's only two families here that we can see that have two places on the wall. Let's look at verse number six. There's another family, two places on the wall. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Pesiah, and Meshullam, the son of Besodiah. They laid the beams thereof and set up the doors. Now look at verse number 30, please. And after him repaired Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanan, the sixth son of Zalaph, another piece. And after him repaired Meshullam, the son of Berechiah. Now look here. You say, Pastor, what's the point? The point is this. There's two families. There are two families, and these families had two parts of the wall, just two. Okay? You say, well, Pastor, what can we learn from that? Do you know, you ever met somebody, they don't lift weights, they don't work out, but they can bench press like 450 pounds. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever met someone like, they're just strong. Just strong. Then you and I, we go to our garage and we lift weights all, you know, three times a week, and we can barely bench press 150 pounds. Do you know God has made some people just stronger? By the way, there's some people, they just need 4 hours of sleep. Maybe five. And there's some people, like some of the teenagers that are out of school right now, they're going to be sleeping 12 hours tomorrow. By the way, you don't need 12 hours of sleep. If you need 12 hours of sleep, you're lazy or you're sick. We read from Proverbs chapter 6 in chapel today about the slothful man. But some people, they just, the Bible talks about different talents. Some have one talent, two talents, three talents. Four. Come up here, James. I like to pick on James. He's a good guy. Come up here. Hurry up. How old are you, James? 13. Come up here. He's 13. Hey, shake my hand. This guy's got a, he's got a hand of a 35-year-old construction worker. Okay, now, he's one of those guys who's going to be bench pressing 450 pounds by the time he's 15. See, whatever, what are you saying? You need to work more here around the church. Just kidding. By the way, he's a fantastic worker. Some people did more than others to get the wall built. That's why it's very, we have to be careful. By the way, if we have responsibility, we have children, we don't want to teach our children irresponsibility or to be lazy, okay? But at the same time, all of our children, they have different gifts. Do you know your firstborn? How many firstborns out there? Raise your hand. Firstborns. Your firstborn. 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 You were born. We say, what's a firstborn? You were born first. You're all the bossy people. You put your hands down, didn't you? You know, I think it was like 11 out of the first 12 astronauts that went into space were firstborn. There are more firstborn presidents than any second, third, fourth, fifth by far. I don't have the numbers in front of me. You say, what are you saying? You firstborns, quit being so cocky. God, by the way, you study, there's a wonderful message by S.M. Davis on the firstborn. Okay? Just get your concordance and look up firstborn in the Bible. By the way, that's why Satan is after the firstborn. The firstborn in your family is the most influential person in the family other than mom and dad. You look in the Bible, a lot of men in the Bible that messed up, that at one time were good guys, they were firstborn. Okay? And I can preach a whole message on the firstborn. But Pastor, what's the point? The point is this. Some of us were gifted. Some of us are firstborn. Some of us, for whatever reason, you can do more. If you can do more, you ought to do more. Okay, but don't expect everybody to do what you can do. In this little group, there are two families. For some reason, God said, you guys, you're going to do two walls. Okay, let's stand and we're going to close in prayer.